Now, we encourage all of you to share our services over the several, 3 months, 2.5 months that we've been out. The doing this video series has just been phenomenal, and we have had so much feedback from it. And you guys have shared these videos and the services, and we've had people that have connected with us that have no clue who they are, and have some new families show up last Sunday because of it. And so thank you so much for being plugged in, even when we're separated from one another. We're still the church, right? No matter if we're at 1255 Phillips Drive, or not Phillips Drive, that's my old address in Tennessee. Road trip, yeah. Russet Court, or whatever your address is, we are the church, no matter where we are. Amen? It just puts a highlight on it that we're here together today. And I am so thankful for that. I feel like I have a word from the Lord this morning. How many of you guys are ready to receive the word of the Lord this morning? If you would, go ahead and get your Bibles out and turn to the book of John, chapter 13. My sermon today is how to love people you disagree with. How to love people you disagree with. And I'm putting that nicely. How do we do that? How do we love people that hate us? How do we love people that we in our heart are trying to push back, hate ourselves? How do we truly love somebody that we vehemently disagree with? How do we do that? Well, Jesus gives us the answer in John chapter 13. Before we get into it, let me pray. Father, again, I thank you for the awesome, high responsibility and privilege of teaching your word today. And I pray, Father, that as I do that it would be powered by the Holy Spirit to speak to each and every heart, both here in this sanctuary and those that are watching at home. God, may your Spirit pierce our hearts and our minds and our spirits. Correct us. Convict us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So John chapter 13, starting with verse 34, going through 35, Jesus says this, "A new commandment I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." Jesus said, this is a new commandment that I am giving you. And it's, I want you to love one another. And he said, not just love like human beings love, but he said, as I have loved you. Jesus said, for the 3 years that I have been with you, that I have demonstrated the love of my Heavenly Father, Jesus said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. And if you've seen the Father, you have seen me, because the Father and I are one. And so Jesus said, as you have seen me love you and demonstrated the love of the Father, even to people that do not like me, that want to kill me, that same love that I have demonstrated to you, I want you to love like that. Now, I can love emotionally. I can love when I feel like it. I think most of us can do that. For a lot of us, even the most cranky of persons in the room today, you feel like loving somebody sometime, right? But Jesus said, I want you to love at all times. And this is something that has been demonstrated to you for 3 years, because I have loved you the way my Heavenly Father loves me. And so with that, I want as you, so he said, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. It's not about the miraculous signs or the healings that you will know that people will know that you're my disciples. If you show miraculous signs or healings, or if you call down lightning, then people will surely know you're my disciples. Jesus said, people will know that you're my disciples by the way you love one another, not tolerate one another, not just stand one another, but love one another. Can I be completely honest with you this morning? We will never completely agree with another person on everything. Just won't happen, not gonna happen, not ain't ever gonna happen. It just ain't gonna happen. At our best efforts, we're not going to agree. All right? Not even our spouse or our best friend are we going to agree on everything. Why? Because of the nearly 8 billion people in the world right now, there's not a single person like you. Look at your neighbor and say, there's nobody like you. And then you say, thank God. Thank God. That means that there won't be anyone with your exact viewpoint on life, on politics, on money, on relationships, religion, and in our circumstances currently in this country, race. You are uniquely who you are. And the person next to you is the same way. We are just uniquely who we are. Even though we are all different, we can still love one another, embrace who we are. Whether you're black, white, Asian, you name it, we all need to learn how to love one another. Why is it important to love people when we clearly do not see eye to eye? And what complicates things even more in our society is now we can sit in the comfort of our home and post anything we like, whether it's true or not. So the answer lies in the words of Jesus here. When we go back to the book of John, when he said, a new commandment I give to you is love one another. Even when you don't see eye to eye, even when you agree vehemently against every syllable that is coming out of somebody else's mouth, you are to love one another as I have loved you, so you must. Jesus is saying, this is not a hypothetical thing that he's saying. This isn't some kind of beautiful, poetic suggestion Jesus is making to his disciples. He is giving a command. As a matter of fact, he started it out by saying, a new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. And by this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. When Jesus commanded us to love others, he didn't say that we had to agree with them first, right? So what does love look like? First, love considers others first. Love looks for the best instead of looking for the bad. So easy to see the bad. As a matter of fact, bad is what puts you on the news. Bad is what polarizes everything. Bad is what gets you a million likes on Facebook or Instagram or all of these different social media platforms. It is the unrest that and the police brutality that makes the headlines. It's not the good. It's not the just that makes headlines. Matter of fact, news outlets, right before they end their news broadcast, sometimes makes a little 30-second push for something that's good, and that's it. After we've all been disgusted 10 minutes into the broadcast, we turned it off, and we missed the good. It's hard to see the good sometimes, isn't it? But love looks for the best. not the worst. Love shows respect. Love seeks unity. Love isn't selfish. Love offers the very best. And love displays patience, a prophetic word for the times that we are in. And if we are still confused about what love truly is, would you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, starting with verse 4, and we'll go through verse 7. I love that the Bible isn't vague about what love is, that it lays it out and puts it there specifically, right? It says this: love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it's not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, it always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love, church, never, ever fails. And here's something that is not talked about much. Loving others involves pain. It involves putting yourself out there to potentially be wounded. As a matter of fact, it's an inevitability. Love means giving of yourself. Love means putting your heart out for someone else to potentially wound. Love means being selfless and thinking about the needs of others before we think of our own. We will never love someone without discomfort in our lives. I wish love was a magical, mystical thing, and sometimes it is. It's beautiful. But sometimes love is very hard, and it takes everything we've got to love, especially for those that oppose us just as much as we oppose them. But the Bible gives us a map, a roadmap to how to love and how to leave our frustrations and our differences aside. Well, Pastor, this is a lovely speech on a Sunday morning. How does that apply to me on my daily basis? How in the world can I get past how I feel? Well, believers don't go by how they feel. We walk by faith as the Holy Spirit enables us, and we move according to the Word of God. We move forward in love. Amen? The resounding command of Jesus is always to love people. And yes, I'm talking about people that we disagree with, especially people we don't agree with. Now, our purpose as a church is written in our name, New Freedom Church, loving people. You guys seen our tagline. That isn't some pithy little statement that we do. It is who we are. It is what we are wrapped up with. You see these banners on the walls. It indicates what we are about. Our vision is our community and discipleship and worship. Over here is prayer, evangelism, church planting. And the last but not least is loving people. It's either we do this, or I'd just rather not come to New Freedom Church. It's either we love people the way Jesus loved people, or matter of fact, why even come to church at all? If we're not willing to demonstrate, put into action, putting feet to the gospel, being Jesus' hands and feet, being his mouthpiece, not in judgment, but in love. Remember the woman that was caught in adultery? Right? The mob brought her, caught her right in the act. They said here, they quoted the law at Jesus. Jesus was teaching, and they interrupted Jesus' teaching, and they said, the law says that this woman should be stoned. What say you? Jesus said, well, I guess the person that is without sin, go ahead and cast the first stone. All of them had rocks in their hands. Can you imagine that? The Bible says from the greatest to the least, they all dropped their rocks and walked away. Jesus looked at the woman and said, woman, where are your accusers? And she said, I have none. And he said, then neither do I accuse you. Go and leave your life of sin. Go and sin no more. That is love. That is compassion. There was a man named Zacchaeus. Apparently he was a short fella. There's a whole little song about it. I won't go into it. Jesus, everywhere he went, there was a mob all around him, people pulling at him. Zacchaeus was a tax collector, and tax collectors were loathsome people because they would collect taxes for Rome, and then they would line their pockets as well. And they were skimming and conniving their own people. And Zacchaeus was no different. But one day he heard Jesus was coming into town, and there was no way he could get to him, so he climbed up a, what kind of tree was it? Sycamore tree. Some of y'all read your Bibles, all right. And he climbed up there, and Jesus walked, and he looked up, and he said, Zacchaeus, I'm going to have some lunch at your house today. He didn't say hi to him. He didn't say, I can't believe you're skimming and scamming your own people. You get down here right now because you're in judgment. He said, I'm hungry. I'm coming to your house today. What's for lunch? And that invitation changed Zacchaeus' life instantaneously at that moment. And Jesus said, today, Zacchaeus, salvation has come to your house. Today, salvation has come to your house. Look, there will always be things we have to agree to disagree on, right? It could be the way we do our finances. Some choose to live debt-free. Some people choose to manage the debt load in their lives. Some people do the whole financial peace thing, and other people don't. Some people like peanut butter and jelly in the same jar. That is insane. While other people like peanut butter in this jar and jelly in this jar, which all of humanity should do. And get a grip, people. We're never going to agree. Oh, it's okay to have a little levity this morning in the midst of chaos. It's okay. And let's be clear, okay? Loving others while disagreeing with them at the same time is possible. And for God's people, it's a command. We can't get around it. It is what our life's mission is about. Loving even our enemies. Blessing those who curse you. Man, are you kidding me? That goes against my flesh. It offends me. But if I could do everything on my own, there would be no need for a Savior. There'd be no need for the power of the Holy Spirit to empower me. Thank God that He gives us the Holy Spirit so that we can love with Christ's love Himself. Amen? So how do we make all of this possible? First, we must always start with respect. Always start with respect. Even if we disagree with someone's stance, we can still treat them respectfully. It's not about feeling respect for them, but showing respect to them. And if we really want to learn how to show respect to others, try spending time with someone who doesn't agree with you at all. Some of you may say, I live with that person. I have family members that I don't agree with about much of anything when it comes to politics and stuff like that. I have a cousin that we disagree quite often about stuff. And I love my cousin, and he's a phenomenal guy. Every time we get together, it's just, he's one of my favorite cousins. But we couldn't be further from each other's opinions. And so we will private message each other when we're wanting to talk about certain things. And when it gets a little heated and I rebut him and he rebuts me, and then it starts to get a little bit mean, I go, "Hey, cuz, I love you." And he goes, "I love you too." And then we end it right there. Because that's how you love one another. It's not about proving yourself right. We let the Lord fight our battles. He is the one that convinces people. It isn't us. I'm not saying that it won't be challenging to do that. And I'm not asking you to go seek out somebody you absolutely disagree with and start arguing with them. That's not what I'm saying. Well, my pastor said that I had to come talk to you, so that's what I'm doing. No, I didn't say that. But given the current moment in which we are in right now, it would behoove us to talk to people about our differences and ask questions, which I'm getting ahead of myself, about why they believe the things that they believe. Romans chapter 12, verse 18 says this: "If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live in peace with everyone." Notice that it says, "as far as it depends on you." The scripture gives us personal responsibility to live in peace with everyone, if possible. So let me give you a few tools to do that. Number one, people that you disagree with and you find yourself in conversations, and the Lord will do that. He'll put you in places where you have to display the love of God on purpose with every fiber of your being. Number one, ask questions respectfully. When we do this, we open the door, the doorway to learn why someone believes what they do. It gives us a peek inside their hearts and minds and allows us to really see them. Instead of making condescending statements when someone shares their opinion, try asking, "How did you come to that belief?" You see, we respect others by actually showing respect and the way we ask and answer questions. Number two, don't say it mean. You know when you're being mean. You know when you're being mean. Disagreeing with someone isn't a big deal. That's part of life. Not everybody's going to agree with you all the time. But unfortunately, we get bothered when someone doesn't see a situation or even the same viewpoint as the way we do. We become thin-skinned, we lead with our emotions, and we blurt out the first thing that comes across our brain. And when that happens, we lash out with our words and display an equal annoyance with our facial expressions. Look at your neighbor and make a mean face. So consider how you want to be treated. Let's leave meanness out of the disagreement altogether and try to understand one another. Third, number three, and the last one is avoid arguments. Man, this is so hard. It's very difficult. You might be saying that at this very moment, but I need you to hear me this morning. We think that we have to say, "Well, they need to hear my viewpoint. They need to know what's true. They need to know what the Bible says. They need to know what correct doctrine looks like. They need to know what's going to happen if they don't turn from their ways." Well, you know what? Jesus is our judge. He fights our battles. It's up to us as far as it is up to us. We are to live at peace with everyone. Amen? The question is, to you is, why do we have to feel like we got to win? Do we want to win the argument? To sound smarter? Just remember this. We can't change people. We just can't do it. We can only change ourselves and to be in control of how we respond. Well, Pastor, they triggered me. You don't understand. I lost it, and it just came out of me like a river, and it felt so good. That doesn't mean it's right. That doesn't mean it's necessary. We can control how we feel. We can control how we respond. Don't let argument-prone people dictate your actions. If the other person just wants to argue, then walk away. Don't post. Don't talk. Just walk away. Is this good? Is this good teaching today? Romans 12, 16, verse 17 says this: live in harmony with one another. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. So as Jesus' followers, as I'm closing, as Jesus' followers, we should set the standard for respect because of who Jesus is in our lives. He doesn't force us to follow him, but he died on the cross so that we would. Let's represent him well as we come into contact with people this week. And as we show people respect and how we treat them, we can trust that God is working in the situation. Let's leave it up to God to change the heart of man. Not our Facebook posts, not our Instagram posts, not our commentary, but let's leave it up to God to change the hearts of people. Because your argument is not going to work. Your best laid effort is not going to work. It's only by his Spirit that he changes the heart of man. He changed this hard heart when he received me as his son. When I asked for forgiveness, he changed me. I am no longer the same. The Bible says I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. A lot of people feel that pastors were born this way. Amen, Pastor? That we're just born being pastors, that we're just born preaching the word of God. We're just born with the Bible, that we're just born living holy lives, that we're just born loving Jesus. I was a wretch. I was a mess. I was hard-hearted. I didn't know what love was. I come from brokenness in my home. I was raised poor. I was raised in some pretty nasty situations in my life. I was an 18-year-old mess when Jesus found me. And if Jesus can change me and make me new, then he can do it for the angriest foe in my life. I thank God that somebody was praying for me, because that prayer changed me. It wasn't their argument. It wasn't their trying to convince me. It was their prayer life toward me that led me to the feet of Jesus. And that's what we need to do for our country today. Would you stand with me? You know, people say, and I hear it, that, well, I guess we can pray. You know, if there's nothing else we can do, I guess maybe we should pray about it. One time I was dating this girl when I came to Christ, and her family had just came to Christ, and we were going to go out on a date. I went to her house to pick her up, and her mom was there, and I was a brand new Christian, barely out of the sinner's prayer. I mean, it was just new. And we were going to Florence, Alabama to go shopping. And it was an hour away. And so her mother said, before you leave, let's pray. And I said, is it Sunday? And she said, Jimmy, we can pray all the time, anytime we want to. And I said, why are you wanting to pray? So I'm asking questions. Because the only time I know that you pray is when you're in trouble, when it's Sunday morning, when there's some kind of crazy something going on, and that you've done everything else, and so I guess we can pray. And she said, you're taking my daughter an hour away, so I'm going to pray that God protects you when you drive. And I go, you can pray that? Like, that's something God's going to listen to? And she goes, yes, he will protect you when you drive. And so she said, let me have your hand. And we prayed, you know, three of us prayed. And I was like, man, I did not realize that. She taught me the power of prayer at that moment. And you and I have the opportunity where two or three are gathered in my name. There I am in the midst, the Lord says. And as I look across this sanctuary and online, there's more than two or three gathered right here. And so we're going to pray today. Number one, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, know him today. Don't leave this room without knowing who Christ is, that you are forgiven, and that you feel the love of Jesus when he said, a new commandment I have given you, that you are to love one another, that you can experience that kind of supernatural love. No matter what you've done, no matter how far gone you think you are, the love of God can rescue you from the pits of hell and despair and bring you up, and not just fix you, but make you into a new creation in Christ Jesus. Would you bow your heads with me? If we can have the prayer team come up this morning. If you say, Pastor, that's me, I want to receive Christ. I want that love. And given what's going on in our country, I need it in my life. If that's you, would you raise your hand and just put it down so I can see it? Just want to pray for you. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Okay. This is what we're going to do. We're going to pray together. So just repeat with me. Let's pray it together. Lord Jesus, today I receive salvation. Forgive me of my sins. Thank you for rescuing me. I receive your love and your grace and your forgiveness today. May I never be the same again today. Heal my heart, heal my mind, and help me to love people the way you love me. In Jesus' name. Now, Lord, I ask that you would, again, give us grace to love one another. Give us the grace of God to love like you love. Help us to be your hands and feet, your love in the flesh today. Fill us up so that we can give out, not miserly, but in heaping helpings of your love, even to our enemies. May we love one another. In Jesus' name, amen. Give God another hand clap of praise this morning. Amen. Amen. Listen, if you need prayer about anything, we have our prayer team up.